Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's Sunday morning in the UK, and this is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here again for another week of our Turning Towards Life project. And I just want to say welcome to all of you. Some of you are with us live in our Facebook group, which is open to everyone to join. You can just search for Turning Towards Life, and some of you are listening on our podcast, which is on all the usual podcast platforms. And some of you are watching on YouTube or on Instagram or on our website, all the different places that you can find this long conversation. And this is the 205th week or something that we've done this. And if you're interested in listening to any of the previous weeks, they're all available online as well. And Lizzie, I'm so pleased to be, as I always am, I say this every week and it's true every week, to have the chance to be in an unfolding conversation with you that gets seeded by a source, some writing that you've chosen this week, where we don't know where it's going to go, but we know that it's going to take us into deep and alive and truthful territory, and it's going to support us, you and I, and also hopefully many other people in this practice of turning towards our lives. What a gift that is to be doing again.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Justin. I'm also really happy to be here and really glad also to be bringing the wonderful Mary Oliver in a kind of different way. So the book that this is from, Upstream, is a series of essays that she's written rather than a series of poems. And to feel her storytelling around her own life and her own creativity is such a beautiful thing. So this is from that book. And this little passage goes like this. Sometimes the desire to be lost again, as long ago, comes over me like a vapor. With growth into adulthood, responsibilities claimed me, so many heavy coats. I didn't choose them, I don't fault them, but it took time to reject them. Now in the spring, I kneel, I put my face into the packets of violets, the dampness, the freshness, the sense of everness. Something is wrong, I know it, if I don't keep my attention on eternity. May I be the tiniest nail in the house of the universe, tiny but useful. May I stay forever in the stream. May I look down upon the windflower and the bull thistle and the coreopsis with the greatest respect. Teach the children. We don't matter so much, but the children do. Show them daisies and the pale hepatica. Teach them the taste of sassafras and wintergreen, the lives of the blue sailors, mallow, sunbursts, the moccasin flowers, and the frisky ones, inkberry, lamb's quarters, blueberries, and the aromatic ones, rosemary, oregano. Give them peppermint to put in their pockets as they go to school. Give them the fields and woods, and the possibility of the world salvaged from the lords of profit. Stand them in the stream, head them upstream. Rejoice as they learn to love this green space they live in, its sticks and leaves, and then the silent, beautiful blossoms. Attention is the beginning of devotion.
Gosh, thank you so much, Lizzie. Before I read this again, what extraordinary writing, but also to hear it in your amazing reading voice. Really moving. And so I'm going to do my best to meet your reading and to read back to you and to everyone as well. And just to say to all of us, if you want to find these sources, then we publish them every week with the podcast and in our Facebook group, but also and on Instagram, also with our turningtowards.life website. You can find every source there. And this is Mary Oliver from Upstream. Sometimes the desire to be lost again, as long ago, comes over me like a vapor. With growth into adulthood, responsibilities claimed me, so many heavy coats. I didn't choose them, I don't fault them, but it took time to reject them. Now in the spring I kneel, I put my face into the packets of violets, the dampness, the freshness, the sense of everness. Something is wrong, I know it, if I don't keep my attention on eternity. May I be the tiniest nail in the house of the universe, tiny but useful. May I stay forever in the stream. May I look down upon the windflower and the bullthistle and the coreopsis with the greatest respect. Teach the children, we don't matter so much, but the children do. Show them daisies and the pale hepatica. Teach them the taste of sassafras and wintergreen. The lives of the blue sailors, mallow, sunbursts, the moccasin flowers, and the frisky ones, inkberry, lamb's quarters, blueberries, and the aromatic ones, rosemary, oregano. Give them peppermint to put in their pockets as they go to school. Give them the fields and the woods and the possibility of the world salvaged from the Lords of Profit. Stand them in the stream, head them upstream. Rejoice as they learn to love this green space they live in, its sticks and leaves, and then the silent, beautiful blossoms. Attention is the beginning of devotion.
Thank you, Justin, for reading that. And I feel like I was kind of transported into those places, both inside of myself and like in the world as well. And so much of this, I could start in so many places of this piece of writing. But for some reason, the line, give them peppermint to put in their pockets as they go to school, has really, really moved me. And somehow I think it speaks to this kind of magic that feels really necessary to reclaim. So lots of times when I was little, I would feel this kind of magical feeling. And as I grew up, it kind of disappeared. And I would get to the place that used to be magic and go, oh, it's not magic. Like somehow I had to let go of there being magic in the world. That there was, the mystery kind of disappeared somehow. And so when Mary Oliver says, teach the children, I know that she's talking about the actual children who are biologically aged in single figures. But I also feel like it's me too. Like this is what I need to give to myself. And in giving that to myself, I'm probably much more likely to be able to actually teach the children, because it will come from a place of my mystery, my relationship to mystery, rather than an imagined one or something. And so I feel really invited into and kind of called actually to the notion of reclaiming this magical mysteriness of nature and of the inkberry and the rosemary and smelling peppermint in my pocket. And that feels like what is probable if I pay attention to the first paragraph as well, of the heavy coats and taking the time to reject them in service of something that's calling me. So I feel very, very seen in the radical kind of sense of, I could put this down which has been given to me, and I could take something up that's calling to me, and that would be fully and completely legitimate, however silly it looked to the kind of practical world. There's some kind of dignifying that I receive from Mary Oliver of the path that isn't the worldly path, but it is absolutely the worldly path, like as in it is the natural world, the creative world, the bringing things into being, to enjoying and rejoicing in life and our lives, and being able to identify the heavy coats that we may not have chosen, and being able to put them down. And it's not lost on me that this is kind of a continuation of what we were talking about last week, Justin, of, you know, what is it to follow the call of something to follow the call of a stream and where that might take you, or to follow the call of the wintergreen and the hepatica. What is that? So I feel very met by this writing, and at the same time I really don't know what to do with it, but I feel deeply called by it and wonder what it really means to receive this, and then for something to wriggle its way in really deeply. And I think this conversation for me is a really important one, because it's a kind of, I think you were saying this last week, Justin, it's like a live something happening, which it always is, but this feels like a threshold conversation or something. So I'm really grateful to be in it and for it to be so live and alive, and for it to invite such deep wondering and curiosity and confusion and some kind of, what's the word? Not knowing what to do-ness.
Where I find myself starting with it, Lizzie, and it's deepened by everything that you've just said, is actually with her last line. Attention is the beginning of devotion. It seemed to me when I first read this that one of the most powerful things that Mary Oliver was saying is that we have choice about where we place our attention, and that we are given many things by our culture to put our attention on, which get labelled, this is the place to look. And it's very often in the realm of all the things we have to do, and also our feeling, at least this is very often true for me, is I'll wake up in the morning with this feeling of, I have to do all this stuff, and if I don't do all this stuff, everything is going to fall apart. But more than that, oh, and I'm meant to somehow make myself powerful and important in the world. That's the thing we're meant to do. We're meant to dominate the world or control the world or something. And that, I think, is the narrative of when she talks about the Lords of Profit. There's one part of what she's talking about here is this sense that to be human in our contemporary world, the story is it's something like being in control of all of it. That's our job. And we get really frightened when we find that we're not, and we can't, and all of those kind of things. Mm. And her reminder at the end that there are choices about what we attend to, and that this is, it's a fundamental, seems to me it's a fundamental aspect of being human, is that we get that choice. And it's a kind of choice that may not be available to many other kinds of beings and creatures in the world. I often think about, you know, ants get to attend to what ants get to attend to, and there's a sort of a thing that's built into their physiology that they have to look after. And we get this wide, wide, wide choice. So then the question is, what are we going to choose? Mm-hmm. And goodness, there's so much to say about this, about what she points us into choosing, but to remind ourselves to, I'll come back to the thing that you said, the line that really got you, give the children peppermint to put in their pockets as they go to school. To remind ourselves that our projects and our wish to be in charge of it all is not the be all and end all of the world. In fact, it all comes from somewhere else. That we're not separate from the natural world, that we're born of the world, of the sassafras and the violets and the dampness and the freshness, I think is to appropriately reorient ourselves both to the wonder of this world that we're in that we forget. So it's sort of a reorientation to gratitude, which more and more seems to me to be the foundation of a life deeply lived, is to keep on reminding ourselves what a miracle it is to be here at all, but is also to remind ourselves that we're not the be-all and end-all. Mm. Which is why the other line that really I find so powerful and so helpful is, may I be the tiniest nail in the house of the universe. Like, yes, let me be useful. I'm not insignificant. I have a place. There is stuff for me to do. There's things to take care of, but I'm also very small, and I'm very small in the midst of all this wonder. It seems to me it can kind of be a really straightforward rehabilitation to ourselves from the sense of grandiosity that we have or we think we ought to have is such a, so when we do feel grandiose, the problem is it disconnects us from the world. But then when we don't feel big and powerful, it can have us feel disconnected and frightened. And Mary Oliver says to us, no, we're just tiny nails in the house of the universe. We're already participating. Can we play our part by learning where to put our attention, you know, recalibrating our attention so we can find our part in it? And that, I seems to me, this morning feels so freeing and life-giving at the same time.
Mm. I love this feeling, Justin, of the bigness and the smallness being right next to each other and just hand in hand, necessary for one another. Like for me to feel my insignificance and simultaneously my significance seems like a really big, important, those two things being right together so that we can feel possibility. Like when I'm feeling so tiny and I think I'm so insignificant, it feels like there's so little possibility. But when I can also feel in the end, I'm also significant, like, and I'm also able to be this little useful nail, it feels like something can be done just from my little part of things. And my sister was telling me a story yesterday of one of her university friends' dads, who is a very long time advocate for the environment. And she said whenever they went anywhere, even if it was like him visiting from Bristol to where they were at university, which is a really long, long way away, he would always turn up on a bike. So he'd got there by some means and then he would always find a bike. And it just made me feel into the every little of us doing every little thing. Like I found such dignity in that story. Like his dedication was borne out by just always finding a bike wherever he went. Whether that was like a, you know, random city he was in or a holiday or his home or whatever, it was just, I have to find a bike. So he wasn't using his car or whatever. He's just a super lovely, eccentric, excellent man. And it feels like, you know, the environment's one of those things. Like it's so huge. How am I going to make a difference by recycling this piece of paper or something? Is that really going to fix this whole thing? But it really matters. And so I feel kind of met in the kind of dance between hopelessness and doing something that I often find myself with your kind of putting the smallness and the bigness right next to each other. That's really beautiful. And I feel like if I mix that with this reclamation of wonder and the lightness that I feel reading the second paragraph of What We Should Teach the Children, I feel like it imbues me with not a sense of responsibility in the kind of you're responsible for this so you have to do it way, but it kind of gives birth to responsibility in me. Like it kind of doesn't tell me what to do, but it allows it to be born in me, like a kind of, oh my God, I feel such commitment to putting peppermint into my pocket and any child's pocket on my way to wherever I'm going, and then I can put my hand in my pocket and smell peppermint. Like such a simple and beautiful thing. It feels like it's breathing life into the possibility of actually doing things that matter. So I'm really curious about the kind of the things that we think we should be doing and the obligations we feel and maybe the heavy coats we have on us versus the things that are calling to us that are made of something mysterious that we find it really hard to articulate. And how important it is to be in that emergent conversation where you don't really know what it is, but you want to have it, but you don't even know where to start. But that you might be able to name that and to read things like this book and say, well, I still don't know what to say about it, but I can feel something. Like doesn't feel of the kind of intellect for me. It feels like something of the kind of mysterious spirit-led or something of me that's not very gross, but that's much more subtle, that feels drawn to things that feels like, oh, I've got to do something, but I don't really know what it is. But there's something here that I can't name. It feels of that realm. And if I feel kind of breathed into by that mystery and that magic and that unnameableness, but it's a real experience, somehow it feels like it's going to lead somewhere. So I feel really moved by the way that this is about this word upstream as well. And as I was feeling into what it means to move upstream, it reminded me when I was younger, I did like a gorge walking thing. We began at the bottom, a part of a stream, and we just kept going up and up and up and up. And it's like moving towards the source of things. Keeping on moving towards the source and wondering what that is, and with each step being closer to something original, something at the beginning of things. And we never reached the source, but we were going upstream. Like the energy of the upstreamness is like feeling into the beforeness almost. Like as I step up the stream, I can leave another one of my coats on the floor. And I can just throw it off to the side and kind of carry on walking. And then when I get to the next bit, there's something about moving upstream and towards originalness. And I'm throwing my coats off because I'm getting hot and sweaty on the way and interested in more things. Those coats can just be naturally flung to the side. In joy, in curiosity, in wonder and magic, and I just wonder what that is to really do that. And I'm in this moment feeling really, really grateful for the ways that the trees have patiently waited for us to turn towards them. And the daisies are just hanging out, waiting to welcome us back into their wonder, as we did when we were little. And the lavender's holding out for us to feel it and smell it as we go past. So just feel really supported in a kind of unknownness and an uncharted territoryness, which I feel is represented by this word upstream.
Mm. No, Lizzie, when Mary Oliver says about adult responsibilities, but she says they claimed me so many heavy coats, I didn't choose them and I don't fault them, but it took time to reject them. That what you're saying about upstream and about the source of things reminds me that we can end up with our attention only on what's downstream and forget that there is an upstream at all.
Yeah.
So our attention is only on the jobs I've got to do today and the person I'm apparently meant to be and all the things I should be doing, and to forget that there is a source from which all of this comes, and the source is upstream.
Yeah.
So it's such a beautiful invitation you're making by reminding us that there's a path back upstream that can show us again where everything comes from and can reopen our eyes and our hearts and our breath to the wonder and the miracle of it all.
Yeah.
And I'm looking out past you out of the window to some beautiful trees behind you. And it's occurring to me that one of the things that we forget is that we're the same stuff as that. You know, our bodies are born, our bodies are made entirely from the earth. And we're all the inheritors of a chain of ancestors who, if you go back far enough, it's really clear to see that we were cradled by this earth and brought into being by the conditions of the earth. We're not separate from any of it. And because of the way that we live and because of our extraordinary intellectual capacities, we can abstract ourselves away from things. We can imagine things and think things and design things and make things and all of that kind of stuff. It's really easy for us to forget that the violets, the dampness, the freshness, the stream itself is also what we are. I really feel that so strongly in hearing you speak and in reading Mary Oliver's words. That's why I think she says, put peppermint in the pockets of the children as they go to school. It's so that we might not forget ourselves, that even as we go about our ordinary day to day, we might not forget this. And then maybe also if we can live, if to any extent we can practice this kind of attentiveness that Mary Oliver's asking us to, if we can get outside and get our face into the grass or find a tree or look at the sky or whatever it is that reminds us that that we have a home here, that we're not alienated from it, that we're not separate from it. It seems to me that we've got a chance of falling into a kind of devotion in our lives that we might otherwise miss if we were only, I'm just picking out words from her, if we were only living in the narrative of the Lord's a prophet, or if we were only carrying the heavy coats of adult responsibility. If we only do that, we miss something so life-giving that's here all the time. And it takes merit, it takes words like this very often to remind us to look upstream, because we forget. I think that's the difficulty, is it's our forgetfulness. It's not that we never knew this. It's not that we didn't ever see this.
Oh, I just feel, when you said we are made entirely of the earth, the same stuff as the trees, and then talking about, well, the phrase that came to me was Mother Earth, you know, that we can be reminded that we have a home here and that we belong. We belong to the trees, the trees belong to us. We're a system of belonging. It feels like, you know, I've been really kind of feeling a bit of a hopelessness about the world recently. And when you said that, I could feel this. There's a place to turn. There's a place to turn, which is our origins, which is the earth and the streams and the trees, not as a way of avoiding the worldliness or something, but as a way of reconnecting to the world itself, in which a lot of stuff is going wrong right now. But it's like our disconnection from this is probably in large part what's causing so much difficulty. And so turning upstream into our own originalness and reconnecting ourselves back in again seems like a little something that this tiny nail can do amongst lots of other things, but that feels really essential and really valid and important. And I too feel just moved by the fact that these trees are here, and that they, and these bushes, I can see gorse bushes outside this window, and they are really there and available. I remember someone saying to me once that not only are we glad to see a tree, but the tree is glad to see us because of the way that we are connected. And so I feel like I want to go out today and receive the trees and the flowers and the grass in whatever small ways I can, even if it's cracking through a piece of concrete on the pavement, a little flower. But also know that there's a possibility that flower is pleased to see me too. Like, I matter to the flower as much as the flower matters to me. So I feel invited into that and really held by it as a place of reconnection and hopefulness and reinvigorating my sense of possibility about what I can be in the world as well.
Mm. Seems to me there's a great big and in this. There's the lives we're already leading with whatever we're up to, and then there's the end that we might attend to this. And I noticed whilst you were speaking, as you were talking about hope, that I can see this in my own life, that where I choose to look has a huge effect on my sense of being able to live hopefully, in the sense of being able to contribute, in the sense of being able to play my part. And if I get pulled into the world of the devices that are around me and imagine that I'm going to find my way home by scrolling through the news until there's some news that settles me, which is sort of sometimes the secret project that I have, or I'm going to read my emails or my social media feed and until I feel at home, and it never does the trick. It just keeps me, that there are other places to look to be home. There are other places to pay attention to, and that there is a real choice in that. Yeah. And that's one of Mary Oliver's many gifts, is to keep us showing us almost like what's kind of fallen out of the line of our attention, because our attention keeps getting pulled this way. And she's saying, no, over here, over here, over here. So I'm sure that that will change my day today and the days to come, to keep on being reminded to look upstream in the way that we're being invited to here.
Thank you, Justin. I feel so supported by this conversation and led by it, you know, like led into unfamiliar, beautiful territory, mysterious territory. It feels really significant and important. So thank you. And thank you to Mary Oliver for her gifts that she left on the earth with us, that will continue to keep on giving and giving and giving. I'm so grateful to her for not just keeping this to herself, that she put it down on paper and it's here with us. And I'm grateful to you, Justin, for always being open, always going, I wonder what this is. And that you do that both with things that are written and with beings too. I'm just suddenly feeling very appreciative of that quality in you that always goes, I'm going to open my eyes and my heart wider to see what this really is. It's really beautiful to be with. And just thank you for everyone joining us too and being in this with us. I think we say this most weeks now, but you can email us if you want to say anything to us. Say hello, Lizzie@turningtowards.life and Justin@turningtowards.life. If you would like to say hello, we'd love to hear from you. And all being well, we'll be back here again next Sunday for our next episode of this wonderful thing called Turning Towards Life. And in the meanwhile, thank you and goodbye. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.